Okay, so here's what I want to do today. Today is the 13th day of Adar, Yud Gimel, and we refer to it as Tiny Esther, right? That's like, what's the day today? Oh, today's Tiny Esther. Now, Tiny Esther is a very odd fast day. It is very different than any other fast day that we have in our calendar. The most obvious difference. There are two very obvious differences between this date and every other fast day. And I forget the, don't tell me, oh, it only starts at sunrise, or although it's a shachar, really not sunrise. There's other fasts that do that, namely Shavuot, Sabbath, Tammuz, Sabbath, Teves, Yom Gedalia, and today, Tiny Esther. So the question is, of course, what else makes Tiny Esther an anomaly? Yes?
It used to be 3 days, and now it's 1 day.
When you say the word used to, what do you mean by that?
Like when it was originally done for.
So it's well. It's a little complicated. It's which we're actually going to talk about because is today connected to those 3 days? It's not so simple if they even are connected.
Okay.
But in theory, you're right. If those are 3 days, well, that's three and today's one. And it's a good thing we're not doing three. Yeah.
We're not commemorating a tragedy.
Okay, very good. Every other event is an eruah. I don't know if you say slichos this morning. So, you know, usually in the slichos, Ashkenazi slichos anyways, it lists the events of the glaze. Shavuot Tammuz, or Nishbro Luchos, the Tamid stop, it lists the reason. All of a sudden today, you know, you got to like talk about other themes and concepts, which are important, but it's not event, it's not date event related. Very good. Excellent. What else is an anomaly? A couple more. They're not so easy, I realize. Well, I'll give you an obvious one that you're familiar with. When today falls out on Shabbos, meaning Purim falls out on Sunday, so then Tiny Esther falls out on Shabbos, what do we do?
Move.
Good. We move fast days all the time, like we were doing it this year. But what's the difference between the moving date?
Move to Thursday.
All of a sudden, we have a principle when it comes to, there's only two fast days that could fall out on Shabbos, really. And that's Tisha B'Av, Shavuot, Sabbath, Tammuz. They always fall out the same day of the week. When they fall out on Shabbos, like last year and this year, where do we move them to? Sunday. What? That is called a?
Nircha.
A nircha. Now, a nircha literally means?
Pushed
off. All of a sudden, for Tiny Esther, we don't fast Monday. We fast Thursday. We fast beforehand. That's called muktam. So, what's the rationale for pushing off Tisha B'Av or Shavuot, Sabbath, Tammuz? The rationale is? You push off Puranusa. You push off calamities. So that's very odd. You usually push off calamities. So why are you being mocked, Tiny Esther? That's an anomaly number two. Our first anomaly was, it's not event-related. Second one is, it's makdim, not dachoy, nidche. We don't push it off, which is very odd. The next thing, which is strange, and maybe we'll end with this. Generally speaking, when a fast day ends. All of a sudden, it's very odd. Because, you know, really, ideally, you shouldn't eat until after Megillah reading. Now, that could be just because we have a mitzvah to eat. We have a mitzvah to Megillah, and there's a rule. If you have a mitzvah to do, don't eat. You know, better not to eat before shofar and before lulav and before matzah, right? You should eat during those moments. But when it comes to the Megillah tonight, there's even a rationale to say, you know, if you need to, better to daven a little bit earlier. This way, you'll ensure you'll be able to fast. So obviously, if you're having trouble fasting, it's a very odd statement that's brought down in the postgame. And the last thing that I want to point out is every other fast day is listed in Tanakh. There's a reference to every fast in Tanakh. There's no reference to Tiny Esther in Tanakh. Then the 13th day of Adar, you're supposed to fast, not mentioned anywhere. It's much later, which is one of the reasons why there's more leniencies, because it's post-Tanakh. Right? If you read Megillah tonight, you would not conclude you got to fast today. I mean, that's just absurd. Right? And also, wait a second, if that's true, as we'll see in a minute, why is it called Esther? Why is it called Megillah Esther? Why is it called Megillah Esther? Tiny Esther? Very strange. Okay. I want to begin with asking a more fundamental question, and by the end, maybe we'll have some clarity. I'm warning you right now. This is a little revolutionary. Like, you're going to be upset. You're going to be... So I'm warning you now. If someone were to ask you, why is Purim called Purim? Right? Seems like an innocuous question. Someone asks you, you know, Jewish holiday. By the way, if you take a look at your university calendar, even your university knows it's Purim tomorrow. It's an official Jewish holiday. Are you aware of that? Yeah. In theory, although you have to be careful, in theory, you have an exam midterm tomorrow. In theory, I'll be Hilchos York. You push it off.
Can I skip a lab?
So in theory, here's the thing. It's one of those things that has been tested very well. Like, if you Hilchos York University, it says Purim. York is very fluent. You know the distinction between the Raisas and the Rabbanans. Right? So Hanukkah Purim is like Rosh Hashanah Kippur Shavuot Sukkot. Okay, fine. They understand. You know, the rabbis have a lot of power. So maybe, you know, are they going to say to you, yeah, but you can rot. You know, they're going to start like doing Hochakira and like Yolanda Malacha. I don't think you're going to get that, right? So maybe, I don't know. So if someone were to say, listen, I have a midterm at 6 o'clock tomorrow, that would ruin your suit up, unless your family's going to have to newspaper sit down because probably a lot of your parents are working. Right? So, you know, I would see that. You know, the question is, right, what do the law? Listen, in theory, halacha, black and white, York University recognizes Purim equal to Sukkot. They don't make a distinction between, like, you know, but there's no, like, asterisks in the Jewish calendar date. This is the Rabbana, this is the Raisa, this is the Shinui, this is Shas Haschag, this is the They don't make, you know, they don't, Shki, Atzei, they don't, I don't know. I know for tests and exams, people have done it. I think 1 year is actually very helpful. Purim was on a Sunday, and they had, like, sometimes some classes have tests on Sundays. Like, that's the last thing you want to do is not only write a midterm on a Sunday, but the midterm on the Sunday of Purim, that's, like, a double. So and they were fine, and they were, So, but you're right, the problem is a lab, because, you know, labs, so I know, you can try, listen, it's mutter. Anyways.
I have an assignment due by a religious professor.
No.
Because she's on sick leave, so we have to give it in to...
That's not right.
I know.
And you email her, and you can't be like, listen, Purim.
Well, she's sick, so I don't want to, like, you know, while she's in the hospital.
Oh, that's, like, legit. Oh, she's, yeah. Like, really sick.
So someone else is doing it for her, but, like, probably when she made the syllabus...
She didn't pay attention, right.
But, like...
That's hard. Oh, that's awful. Oh, my goodness. All right, what are you going to do? Okay. Anyways, that's the... So if someone to ask you, back to what we were saying, why is Purim named Purim? What would you say?
It says
Al-Shem HaPur. It says in Megillah, Al-Shem HaPur. Right? Okay. Here's my thesis. My thesis is, not only is Purim not named after the lottery, but the Megillah goes out of its way to say it's not named after that. And everyone misreads it. That's a pretty radical... I told you right now. It's not my idea. This is a radical thesis. This is not a, like... Okay? But I got to prove it. I can't make such a statement. You write an essay, you make a thesis, you got to prove your thesis statements. I got to prove my thesis statement. And I don't have to write it. I can say it, which is even better. Okay? So, but in order to understand that, we're going to have to travel somewhere in Chumash, which is the back of the first page. And we're going to travel to a place that's not very familiar, because it's at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. And those parshios are read in the summer, and you don't need to learn Torah in the summer. And it's at the end of Bamidbar, in which case, let's face it, you don't get. If you learn Bamidbar, first of all, schools don't learn Bamidbar. If you do learn Bamidbar, by the time you hit, you know, the part of Duma and Chukas, most people have given up already. So you don't get to it. The only thing is, it is read Monday and Thursday. So, you know, if you're in Shul or Mincha, so maybe you hear it. Otherwise, it gets buried. So let's bring it up from the slumber of the summer. Warm days, right? Here we go. I'm going to say a little bit outside, or just save me a little bit of time, and we'll say the psukim. The halacha is as follows. If a wife makes a neder that's onerous, not like, you know, I'm going to give tzedakah, I'm going to recite a parak of Tehillim, I'm going to help someone cross the street. No. In what's called a difficult neder, one that's a burden. If you remind me at the end, I'll tell you about an incredible sharla that came up where a woman by mistake accepted Yom Kippur early, right? And was she forced to start fasting early? It's a famous, it's a fascinating
how
question.
Early, like days or like
they made a mistake. She miscalculated an hour. She started Yom Kippur an hour and a half early. And she, anyways, interesting case. It was asked here in Toronto. That was a question with the Rosh Hashanah. Remind me afterwards. But if a woman accepts upon herself a very difficult neder, like, you know, I'm not going to eat X, I'm not going to do Y, that's very difficult for her and for her family, the Torah tells us that the day she makes that neder, the husband can revoke it. If the husband waits until tomorrow, the next day, too late. And not only is it too late, but he bears responsibility because he had an opportunity to revoke it and he didn't. Okay? So, let's see that inside. So, any, by the way, there's two different types of shvuah you can make. One's a neder, one's a shvuah. One's on me, and one's on an item. I can make a neder, I won't eat bread, and one is that bread is usher to me. That's the only difference between neder and a shvuah. That's a technicality. And what's this person doing? La no, see the word inui? By the way, we say that in Kippur, right? V'nisim asam shosvechem, right? Inui. So, difficult. I think affliction is what's translated here. Isha. So, the word isha is not. What is Isha here with the MPK? The dot in the hay. What does that mean? Her. Right. Her. Ishala. What does Ishala mean?
Her husband.
So her husband can yikimena, and her husband can yifirena. Her husband has the ability to
fulfill
or no? Okay. Okay, fine. V'im charesh yacharishla. What's charesh yacharish?
That's in the Megillah.
Very good, right? What does that mean? If
they're silent.
If they're silent. Day to day. In the end, all of her nidarim or the asareha, asher alaha heikim osam, ki acharishla biyom shema. Now, since the day that she made the vow, he was silent, it's upheld. V'mafer yafer osam, achre shema v'nasa savana. If he decides to revoke them later, guess what? Too bad.
So he's doing them instead of her, or in addition?
Wait, were you referring to this pasuk? No, instead. No. He can revoke it. Gone. Poof. Finished. No, not there.
Like it says,
if he doesn't.
Yeah, if he doesn't.
Then he shall bear it. What does that mean, he shall bear it?
Oh, that he's just. Rashi. Very good. Rashi. Who nichnas tachtaha? Lamadnu mikan, shal gorim takalal chaveru, who nichnas tachtav v'cholonchen. That Rashi is saying that the husband could have revoked it, he didn't, so he bears responsibility.
It's almost as if he
took it upon himself. It's not literal; it's figurative. Meaning, the fact that your wife is now suffering, you're responsible for that. It's your fault, right? Exactly. But don't think, well, my wife's an idiot. She took on a nether. It's her fault, right? No, you had an opportunity to do something and you didn't. You're also at fault. Don't say that. What do you want, right? Meaning, doing nothing doesn't exonerate you. Doing nothing means your fault. Okay? Great. As was pointed out, there's an expression that is only found in two places in the Torah Tanakh. Guess what? What's that expression? It says, if you're silent, there's only one other place in Tanakh that it appears. And it is, of course, tonight. In the Megillah, Mordechai tells Esther, evokes the exact same phrase. Now, here's something very important when it comes to learning. Remember, if you're writing Megillah's Esther, you're Mordechai, you have a much larger pool of text to reference because you're coming at the end. You get all of Tanakh, most of Tanakh, to reference. And the assumption is, when you make a reference, you assume that everyone who reads it, hears it, knows it, is making that connection. Right? To use a modern day allegory, when we daven to, in davening, it was obvious to Chazal when they put together the Seder that, of course, you understand, for example, why do they say Hodel Hashem Kibru Vishmo? I'm Sugat Zimra. Why is it Yashar Dan Sugat Zimra? For Chazal, it was obvious why they chose that. It's not so obvious today, which is why you have an Askel Siddur coming to the bottom. Why you have tons of commentary, the Bar Brit, tons of commentary, if we draw on the Siddur, because it's Not so obvious. Well, in fact, that's a good question. Why is it there? Why is it that's random? Super random, right? Okay, but we're not learning the Siddur now, though maybe one time we should. But meaning, and that's a very important methodology to understand. Meaning, what I'm trying to say is that when we see the Megillah reference Psukim in Chumash, it's a nice phrase, it sounds good. No, there's clearly intent and purpose. And what's beauty about Chumash or Tanakh, or learning in general, it's never explicit. You understand? You never want to teach something that's explicit. Because if it's explicit, it's not learning. It's too obvious. We all know that real learning comes when you have to discover. Right? Okay. Let's take a look now at where, we'll come back to that. Let's take a look now and where in the Megillah it talks about why today is called Purim. Let's read. Let's go back a little bit up top to Perek Tes. Chav Dalet. So we're on the same page. Back to the page. So here we go. Let's read. Ki Haman ben Amedasa Gagit or Yudim. Chashav al Yudim Labdam. So there's a guy called Haman. He's a bad guy. He's the enemy. He wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And what did he do? He put poor. He did a poor. Huagaral, which is a lottery. Why did he do it? Luhumam Labdam. Why does a lottery cause people to be terrified and to destroy them? Because
it's when he's going
to. Yeah, it's like I'm playing with your brain, right? You, Haman can be like, okay, tomorrow, then you only have psychological torment for a day. But what day ended up being, so again, when does Haman choose, pass me the Tanakh, when does Haman choose this date? Anybody know? When?
11.
Very good. So what month is that in Hebrew? Nisan, very good. The letter goes out that all the Jews will be destroyed on the 13th day of Nisan. You know, it's a nice Pesach present, right? Another Pesach, right? That's the boys get. Forget not having a Pesach kitchen. That's really bad news. Getting destruction of Jewish people, right? That's really bad. That's serious. So, see, thank God. Now, Baruch Hashem, now we can laugh. At the time, they were not laughing, right? But seriously, though. Haman sends us out in Nisan, or April. And the date is March, Adar. That's like horrible, right? For 11 months, we have to live with this ensuing cloud of darkness over our heads. Of us, our communities, our families. Fine. Next pasuk. Chafe. Ubivo al difnei melech. And when she comes towards the king, Amar ima sefer yashuv machshavto ara'a shechashav al yudim. That what? When she approaches the king, based on the commanded through the letters that has evil decree that was going to be against the Jewish people, right? The whole letters and the whole plan. In the end, what happened? In the end, what do? They hanged. They hung or they hanged?
Hanged.
Hanged, right? Good. English. They hanged Haman and his
sons.
Next. Okay, Karu Layamima Ila Purim. And that's why they called these days of Purim. Hashem of Pur, because of the poor. Okay, no, call it Geras Hazos. Because of the scroll, by the way, the Megillah is called an Geras. Yeah, I don't know if you can tell from the women's section, but it's placed as a scroll. Like we open the entire Megillah, let me read it that way. As opposed to a Sefer Torah, the opposite. You only open what you're laning a little bit. When after a Geras, a letter, you open the whole letter first, and fine. If not, it's also okay. And they saw concerning this matter and what happened to them. Okay. Question. Why is there Pasuk Chafei? If I'm writing the Megillah and I want to tell you the reason why we celebrate Purim, I would write Pasuk Chaf Dalet and I would go right into Chavav. It's seamless. It's perfect. It literally stitches beautifully. Right? There's a guy called Haman. He does a lottery to cause chaos. Chavav. And that's why we call it Purim. Chav Hei seems to come from outer space. Totally superfluous. Does everyone see that? How Chav Hei is like, what are you talking about Esther coming? What are you talking about? It just distracts from Chav Dalet. I'm going to give you another. Remember my thesis?
Yes.
What's my thesis?
Okay?
I'm going to do another thesis. I'm going to prove my thesis a different way. What day did Haman choose to destroy the Jewish people?
Yod Gimel.
What day is Yod Gimel?
Tanis Esther.
Today. Have you met anybody in the world that calls today Purim? You follow? So if we're naming Purim after the lottery that Haman cast, I got newsflash. He didn't choose Purim to be called Purim. He chose today to be called Purim. And as far as I know, no one calls today Purim. True or not true? So what? Now we're super confused. But why is it plural? Because there's 2 days of Purim. There's Purim and Shushan Purim. So it's plural. That's the reason why it's plural. 2 days. So if Purim is plural for 2 days of Purim, how do you say one Purim?
Poor.
Right? But that's, Megillah says that, no? But here's something very interesting. Let's go back to what we read in Bamidbar. To a person who has an opportunity, we'll call him a husband, he has an opportunity to do something when he hears news. What are the two possibilities? If he can revoke it or uphold it. If you revoke a neder, if you uproot a neder, if you nullify a neder, what's that called in Hebrew? Look closely. Don't look at me. Look at the piece of paper. La'afer. La'afer. Boy, does that sound like a verb? La'afer bris. It's mentioned many places. La'afer bris. Right? So now, if I want to give it a if that's a verb and I want to turn it into a noun, the noun would be a fe, vav, resh. And that's really interesting. Let me tell you why that's really interesting. Because who goes and annuls a vow? Well, it's not a real vow, but I know somebody who goes to somebody and says to please cancel. You see what I'm getting at? Oh my goodness. I don't believe it. Look at Pasuk Havei. Look at Pasuk Havei. How does it begin? I don't believe it. Esther. It's Esther. She goes before the king. Ima Sefer. Yashuv Machshavato. Please change your mind. And now look at Chafav. Chafav is saying, Al kein karu leyamim ele purim. Al shem hapur. Not the goral. It's not named after what Haman did. It's named after what she did. Because there is pasu chafei. Because chafei is the reason why we call Purim Purim. Chavav is modifying chafei. Al kein. And it has to be that way. Because Chav Dalet fits beautifully to Chavav. So the fact that there's Chavei must mean Chavei is the reason. Now that's not that obvious, unless you do a nice introduction that I gave. The introduction that we did here now says, oh my goodness, of course it's so obvious. Now, let's play this whole scenario out. But you know we're going to play it out? By reading the Pesukim Megillah. Let's go to Perek Dalet, where we're going to see Esther deciding to evoke this terrible decree, and we're going to see the context where Im Hacharesh Yacharesh is going to be found. And what's even more fascinating is that I realize it's the male-female flipping around here, husband, wife, wife, husband, but even the way it's looked, if I look at the word Yisha without a dot in it, it looks like it's a female, which is also pretty neat. Okay, let's go to Perek Dalet. Don't worry, we will end at 12. People have 12:30 class?
Yeah.
Fine. We end at 12:15, we're okay? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. I'll go quick. Mordechai does go asher nasa. Mordechai is aware of what happened, by the way. What happens in the Perek Gimel? A letter was sent out to all provinces that on the 13th day of Adar, all the Jewish people died. So here's what happens. Vayikra Mordechayas Begadav, he rents his clothes. Vayibash Sak Vefer, and he, of course, puts on sackcloth and ashes. Vayitzei B'sochair, goes out to the city. Vayizak Zakag Lamara, and he gives a good kishrei. Vayavo ad lifnei shar melech kin levo shar melech b'lefusak. He's only able to go until the king's gate. Why? He's dressed like a college student. Oh, sorry. Not present company excluded, of course. Okay? He's not dressed. He's dressed like a shalom. Listen, fasting, a little bit, it's Erev Purim, a little bit of, you know. Pasuk Gimel. U'bechol medina u'medina. In every single province. Mekom asher dvara melech v'daso magia. Anywhere where the king's law applies. Evel gadola yehudi v'tzomu v'chei u'mispeid. Tzak v'yif v'yitzal rabim. Is a terrible moment of mourning. So we know Mordechai's response. We know the response of the entire Klal Yisrael. There's only one person who we need to know. What is Esther? How's Esther handling the news? Answer. There's a lot to talk about here, but we're not going to. Vatavona naros Esther v'sariseha. The maidens of Esther come. Vayagidu la. Vatis chalchal hamelkama. That's a very difficult word. It means that she's very distraught. They tell her. Now, what do they tell her? Okay, you think about the decree, right? Okay, you tell me at the end if you think that's what they told her. It's unclear. The Jew is unclear. I think it's on purpose. What does she do? Vatishlach begadav v'albishas Mordechai u'lasir sakol ma'alav v'lo kibel. She sends clothes. Mordechai get dressed. So she sends Mordechai in her money suit. And what is Mordechai's response?
No thanks.
Okay, now this is very odd, right? She's very intrigued as to what's going on. So, Vatikra Esther l'hasach m'sher melech, asher mi defenev, tzvei Mordechai das mazah v'amazah. Hey, Mordechai, what's up? Vaitzei asach Mordechai v'chov v'ir, asher l'ifnei sham melech. And here we go. Mordechai is now going to tell Asach to report back to Esther the following. Vayaged lo. Mordechai is kol asher karau. Mordechai tells him everything that transpired. V'yez parsha asach kesef, asher amar haman lishkol al ginzei hamelech by Yehudim labdam. Mordechai tells Asach to inform Esther that this is pretty tragic. There's a 10,000 silver coin deal that Haman deposited in Ahasuerus's, you know, Swiss bank account, right, his treasury, in order for Ahasuerus to sign off on this letter to show the Jewish people. But not only that, Vespashegen Ksavadas Asher Nitan B'Shushan Lashvidam Nasan Lo. But also, Mordechai just doesn't tell Hasach. He literally gives Hasach a copy of the letter, the edict, that on it was the final solution. That on it said, on the 13th of Adar, all the Jewish people will be destroyed, signed, and sealed. It was like, you know, the final solution of from the Wazi conference when Himmler signed on the letter that, you know, shooting Jews is not efficient, it's expensive, it's psychologically damaging, better to, Rachman, it's on gas, Jewish people, Cyclone B. Right? And that letter was sent out January of 1942. So this letter is very similar to that letter of Rachman, it's of destruction of the Jewish people. So Mordechai gives Hasach this letter and says, show this letter. The Harosa says there, show it to her. The Hagila, tell her. Let's have Vosala, commander. You need to plead before the king. Plead before him and beg for the Jewish people, for your nation. These psukim are quick. Right? They're very short. It gives the, you get the feeling of right people running back and forth. And here's her response that I'm sure you're familiar with. Kol avdei hamelech va'am midinos hamelech yodim. Hey, come on. Everybody is a servant of the king. Come on. So what? Kol ish v'isha asher vola melech al chatzer p'nimis asher lo yikarei. Anybody who goes to the king's court with is not called, you don't get invited. Achas taso lamis. Off with your head. Of course, the vaid masher yoshila melech et shavida zahav achaya. Unless, of course, he decides to lower the scepter, then you can live. Vani, then it crazy the vola melech l'shloshim yom. I have not got an invitation for 30 days. What am I reading this properly? What's Esther's response? Esther just read the decree hears the bit of the background behind it, gets reported to her, coupled with this seeing a hard copy, Mordechai, who up until now she's been very loyal to, all of a sudden she's like, yeah, I'm sorry. Not going to work. Are you kidding me?
Doesn't she have 11 months?
Does she say that? She's like, okay, I'll go in 10 months from now?
No, but she's saying I could go in 30 days. But
No. She's like, I haven't been called in 30 days. I have not had an audience with him in a long time. Yeah. Now, I have a question for you. Why did she say that? What's the possibility? Well, get into her head.
If she was going to be killed, then that would help no one.
Okay. So, what are the odds of her dying? Give me the odds.
Very high.
What are the odds?
50-50.
50-50.
Really?
You want 70-30? I'll give you 70-30. Okay? 70% chance she'll die. But that was, remember, that was, okay, when you say just.
We don't know Al-Khajiro, like, we don't know the chance that he'll look down his up
there. Wait a second. When you say just, what do you mean by just?
Like, a few years back.
Okay, 5 years ago.
Okay, but to kill your wife, to kill your wife who is the queen,
for not doing anything,
for doing something.
But that was a queen who you asked to do something, and she revolted against you, publicly made you look a fool. I'd also be upset.
Drunk, no, at the time.
Again, drunk, not drunk. I don't like making people drunk. Because here's the reason why I don't like people drunk, because then it exonerates them. Right. Then they're not as responsible for the actions. So I don't like making people drunk. You know, obese maybe, but not drunk. Right? When I was in Associated, so I did a play, and the person who played Chashirosh had to have a pillow under his arm. I guess the, you know, Shamen Babetin, Ani Chashirosh, Shamen Babetin, and Meshuga Barosh. The whole play was in Hebrew. There's no English in this play. Anyways, you remember weird things when you're... I don't remember what grade I was in. Of course, the whole thing rhymed.
Sorry.
It's very this is Associated. This is not some, you know, second-rate educational institution. Associated in the 80s. This is like this prime. Okay. Now, I have no idea what I'm about to... Oh, no, I don't know. What are the odds of the Jewish people dying?
100%.
Good. Now, if you wanted to play Mordechai here, what would you come up with a good argument? Would you convince Esther after hearing this? What would you say?
She's gonna die anyways.
No, she could hide it.
Okay, maybe she could hide it. What else would you say to her?
Her entire life is gonna be dead.
Yeah, like your family will die. Like, what about us? You don't care about us? You know, you only have a 70% chance of dying. We have 100% chance of dying. Numbers game, you're one, we're 100,000, 50,000, a million, I don't know how many Jews there were in those days. Right? It doesn't really matter. But the point is, there's lots of different arguments that Mordechai could give. Now, here's what I want to... I came up with this analogy yesterday. I don't know if this works. If someone were to say to you, and I don't mean to be... This is not being cruel or insensitive, I think it's normal. Someone say to you, listen, can you risk your life, please, for 1,000 people who live in India?
Well, are they Jewish?
India. They're not Jewish.
Not.
China. Not Jewish, right? If I were to ask you, what would you say? You wouldn't be so, you know, would you want to risk your life for those people who live? I don't know. Now,
so many people?
Would you risk your life?
Because they're Jewish or not?
Okay, I'm asking the question.
No, but it's probably
because they're Jewish.
If they're not Jewish, so they're like 1,000.
So would you risk your life? By the way, are you obligated to risk your life?
Is it going
to
be
no? No, I'm going to risk your life. Right? Okay. Question. I have a question. What about if I were to tell you, I'm going to phrase it differently. Not 1,000 people in Afghanistan, but 1,000 people in Jerusalem. Would you be willing to risk your life for 1,000 in Jerusalem?
If they really
asked. 1,000 in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
right? No. Meaning. Now, here's a question. What's the difference in those two scenarios? Why in one case you contemplate more, and one, maybe you'd struggle less, make a decision?
Identify with them.
It's like my family. When you say someone who's Jewish, it's like saying my third cousin. Right? It's my cousin. It's my family. It's the person who I know. Whereas the other scenario is a total stranger. Maybe I would. Maybe it turns out all day were. I'm not saying you would, you wouldn't. But the difference between the two is one's a family member, or looked upon as a family member, and one's looked upon as a stranger. And so for strangers, we're less likely to risk college. I think that's normal. I think that's just regular, normal human behavior. Fine. Does Esther in this pasuk, for 1 second, contemplate risking her life for family members? Zero, nothing, nada. That's not normal. I just asked you, you told me you would consider risking your life for 1,000 people in Jerusalem right now. Okay, you do it, not do a pamphlet. Okay, well, that'd become a discussion.
But it also probably wouldn't work. I don't know if that's what she was thinking.
Again, does she offer an alternative plan? Right. Does she say, hey, Mordechai, husband, uncle, cousin, it's amazing, same person as all three, right? 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 Whatever you are, you got plan A, let me give you an alternative plan. I'll give you plan B. Give me 3 months. Give me... Literally, she says, yeah, I can't do it. It doesn't. I could risk my leg. Are you kidding me? 10,000. By the way, if I were to change the number from 1,000 to 10,000 strangers, 100,000 total strangers, you'd struggle. You'd be schwitzen. They put you in that situation. If it's a real situation, not like around the table. You know what I mean? Right? In a real life situation, you're risking, not for sure you're going to die, risking your life for 100,000 strangers. Here, for 100,000 Jews, she doesn't bat an eyelash. I would like to argue that Mordechai realizes why she's saying what she's saying. Because she's treating the Jews like strangers. She's totally apathetic to the people, to the cause, to the plight. It's like saying 100,000 strangers could die. Oh, good. Why should I risk my life for 100,000 strangers? Right? Now, but here's what happens. Mordechai realizes that he has to make a decision. Mordechai needs to convince Esther, but not convince her, and this is fascinating, not convince her to do it for the sake of doing it. Mordechai wants Esther to realize she needs to do it for Esther. Let's see what I mean. Yud Gimel. V'yomer Mordechai l'shiva l'Esther al tidami v'nafsheich l'himaleit beis hamelech mikol hayudim. Mordechai tells Esther, don't think for 1 second that you're going to escape. You're going to be safe. You're living in the palace. You're going to be... Oh, okay, 12:20, sorry. That you're going to be safe, right, from the Jews. Ki'im, and here are the words, everybody. Charesh tacharishi ba'isazos. If you are silent at this time, Ravach v'atzala yamud la'yudim imakom acher. Ravach v'atzala, yeah. There'll be salvation, Jewish people, somewhere else. Meaning, I don't know how. Maybe 500 Jews will live. I have no idea. The Jewish people somehow will survive. Va'at u'beis avich tovedu. But you and your household... we totally lost. And maybe this is the reason why you became queen. Meaning, Mordechai says to her, listen, you think you're going to be safe in the palace. You have it all wrong. Someone who hides and shirks responsibility is not a person who's remembered, who's victorious, who survives. A person who hides, a person who's apathetic, person who doesn't care is written off from history, and you and your household will be written off. And by the way, maybe this is your moment. We don't base things on what you did. We base things on what you're going to do, what you will do. You're in this moment. You're in this situation. You need to make a decision. Do you care or do you not care? Are you concerned or are you not concerned? It's up to you. You don't want to be concerned? You don't want to care? No one will know you. You'll be written off. Everyone will forget about you. Jewish people will survive. Maybe only 500 will survive. 1,000 will survive. Some will survive. In response to this, Esther is totally shaken at her core. She responds to Mordechai, right? Go fast for me for 3 days. I'll fast too. And if I die, so I die. I need to speed up a little bit. I have to remove my drama and get moving. Okay? But what I think we see here, which is so important, and listen to Mordechai's words, Im charesh tacharishi. Don't think that if you're silent, it's neutral. A person who's silent, who can rescind a decree, who can make a difference, who can be Mayfair, who can uproot something, tomorrow is actually too late. You have to do it now. Or you have to do it with immediacy, expediency. Right? Okay, she fasts for 3 days, but meaning it's now, it's quick, right? It's not months from now. Because what happens, what do we learn, and what's Mordechai trying to tell her? Because I'm assuming Esther asked to do Chumash, that what? A person who's silent, the nasas of an irresponsible. You bear silence is not being neutral. Silence is being culpable and responsible. You could have done something. You could have responded. You could have nullified the vow. You're in this position. You have an ability to do something, and you choose not to. You're responsible. And that's what Mordechai is trying to tell Esther. So why is Purim called Purim? It's because Esther got up and realized and did not do Charesh Charesh. But she went up and she did Pur. She was Mayfair. She uprooted, she annulled the decree. She was active. And when did she annul this decree? She annulled this decree in Nisan. That's when she fasted. And therefore, the 2 days of Purim are called Purim because we're celebrating the fact that Esther actually did something.
So why do we fast today?
Oh. So Chazal said, you only have to fast before Purim. First of all, why is it called Tanya Esther? You didn't fast today. The answer is because everybody, before you can celebrate Purim, needs to have an Esther moment. Everyone needs to have a day of what? Where am I situated and how do I respond to tragedies, to situations? I realize it might not be about 120 provinces, but the moment I'm at the threshold, I'm at such an important threshold right where I am. And in order to celebrate on Purim, you need a tiny sister. You need to be able to say, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to play an active role. I'm going to care about Klal Yisrael. Actively, not passively. Actively. And then and only then when you do that, can you celebrate Purim. Which is why Tanis Esther can't be pushed off. It has to be Maktim. It must come. It must preempt Purim. So you can't fast on Shabbos. You have us on Shabbos. Move to Thursday. But you can't have Purim on that month of Shabbos without having gone through your Thursday of Tanis Esther. Which is why Chazal were so, on one hand, it's the most minor fast day because it's, I've mentioned Tanakh, but they realize it has a different type of a message and value to it that's totally different than any other fast in the Jewish calendar. Totally different. It's a different ballgame, different situation altogether. And I'll just end with this, and that's why, what do we emphasize on Purim? On Purim, we don't say halal. And the Gemara gives reasons, but it's trying to think very profound. Chanukah is about halal. Pesach is about halal. Shavuos and Sukkot. Halal means I'm thanking Rosh Baruch Hu for his nisim and niflaos directly. On Purim, we don't do that. Because Purim is not about thanking, being mahalal Hashem. It's about praising people. Meaning, people who act like Esther. People who take responsibility for others. The story of Megillah, right place at the right time, and Hashem. Of course, all that's true, 100%. But it's about celebrating what human initiative, what, and that's why the mitzvos of the day all relate to people. Matanos, levdiyos, rados. It's all people related. There's no halal because we're not emphasizing Kadosh Baruch Hu's role in this world. We're emphasizing what we can do in our role in this world.
How does Megillah relate to
people? So Megillah is what makes us obligated. Megillah is it's the sticky glue, right? It puts everything together, right? Without Megillah, there's no nothing, right? And I think that Purim, very unique. It's different from Chanukah, different from Pesach, and the mitzvot hayom demonstrate the essence of the day. Of course there's a Shevach to Hashem, but that's de-emphasized versus that's why it's Megillas Esther and Tanis Esther. It's Esther as a transformative moment. She changes everything. There's a lot more to say. This is, just the beginning. I always, we should do a whole series sometimes. I always feel we shouldn't just do one time. We should do a whole series on Megillas Esther. Okay, maybe one time. Okay, have a Purim Sameach, everybody. Have an easy fast, and we'll see you, God willing, next week.
There's a question though.